It's too loud. Eddie wants to make sure that you hear well. Good morning, everybody. Anybody here for the first time today? Welcome, welcome, welcome. So for the last couple of weeks, I've been speaking to you about prayer, specifically things that the Bible teaches us are going to be a problem or a hindrance to your prayer life. Let's ask the question again. How many of you can honestly say, as you sit here, that prayer has brought a solution, an answer, a change into your life? Keep your hands up. Okay, so if you look around you, then you don't need more than this for you to understand that prayer actually does work. And we are commanded to pray. You know, the Bible doesn't say kind of like if you pray. It says when you pray. God expects us to pray because prayer has the ability to connect us to God, who is the source of all power. There are things that we can't do. There are things that we can't change. But when we pray about it, it takes us into a realm where the impossible becomes possible. Where the things that people say cannot happen actually quite easily happens and takes place. How many of you have some devil in your life that needs to be conquered? When we talk about a devil, what are we talking about? You know, a lot of people have this weird idea that devils are these big, scary monsters that crawl around outside there. And I've said to you many times, the devil is not an evangelist. If demons crawled around outside there looking like big monsters, it would send people to church on Sunday. The devil doesn't want to push you to the church. The devil wants to pull you away from the church. Fear is a demon. Anger is a demon. Low self-esteem is a demon. Pride is a demon. Depression, anxiety, fear, hopelessness, despondency, despair. And I can give you a big list of things. All of those things that come into our life is demonic. Restlessness, sleeplessness. You know, the Bible says the Lord wants to grant His beloved a good night's sleep, but something out there doesn't want you to sleep. In fact, how weird is this? When you sit and watch television, you can't keep your eyes open. I know for the young people, that's like a really strange concept because you're not in that place yet, but you'll get there. You sit, you try and watch television, you can't keep your eyes open, you just want to sleep. You get into bed to sleep, you can't sleep, you lie there awake and you start counting sheep. And how weird is this? You want to pray, no matter what time of the day it is, you close your eyes, there you go. See, the devil doesn't mind you mess around with other stuff, but when you start praying, because you access power, it begins to upset him. Now, there are certain things that is given to us in the Bible that shows us that if we do not do things right or correctly, then our prayers are either not going to be effective or they will not work at all. It's important to know that because when you pray, you want to pray effectively. You are expecting that your prayers are going to begin to bring about change in the situation that you are praying about. Amen? Sometimes what we are praying for is actually not within the will of God. 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 to 15 says, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we know that if He hears us, whatever we are asking, we know that we will have what we have asked of Him." So here's what we have to understand. Not everything that we ask for is necessarily within the will of God. Maybe you don't understand how this works, then I'll try and put you in the picture. When God brought you down to this earth, God equipped you with certain talents, certain giftings, certain abilities, certain type of personality that is in line with God's call for your life. When we come to this earth, we are put here to fulfill a godly destiny. In order for you to fulfill that destiny, you have to be where God wants you to be. You know, they sometimes say that you mustn't put a square peg in a round hole. Is that correct? Why? Because it doesn't work very well. Unfortunately, a lot of people down here are in that exact position. They are trying to fulfill something that they were not created to do. And they have turmoil, they have problems, things just don't work out for them. So, is everything that we pray for within the will of God? No, because sometimes what we are asking God to do is very far removed from why we are on this earth. The things we ask for outside of God's will not receive a yes from God. It will receive a no. I sometimes try and sketch the picture this way. If we were to look at ourselves from the point of view that God created us as automobiles. Now Eddie here, being steady Eddie, will be a laid-back cruiser. Okay? And he would do well being a laid-back cruiser, but if we want to turn him into some mountain-climbing, weird rock-climbing, you know, those things with the very big tires and whatever, he's going to fail. Does that make him a failure? No, he's not a failure. He's trying to do something he was never created to do, getting frustrated and upset because of it. But if he just goes back to laid-back cruising, did you ever see that movie Driving Miss Daisy? It is that car, you know. It's not going to go there quickly, but it'll get you there. And it'll get you there in style, right, Ed? There we go. Then, was it Nuno? Then we have Nuno here. Nuno is a Harley Davidson. You can somewhat check the attitude coming all out of him, you know. Doesn't have his leathers on today, but they're probably somewhere in the cupboard. Now, that Harley Davidson is good for certain things, but there's other things it's not so lacquer for. Can he plow with his Harley Davidson? He can try. He's not going to get very far. He might end up breaking something. And once again, have a lot of frustrations. But the problem is not what he is. It's what he's trying to do with who he is. If he goes to God and he says, God, I cannot understand. I'm asking you to help me. I want to plow the field. And now, taking into account that you got this like massive big plow that can do 20 rows at a time, that you probably need a big John Deere tractor for. How can God then say yes if it'll break him in the process? But you see, this is what we don't see. God sees a lot of things pertaining to your life, your purpose, and your destiny. And we're praying for things that God says, my child, if you only understood, Nuno, if I say yes today, we're going to break you. But if you go back to having fun cruising on a Saturday, going from Joburg to Bloemfontein in style, you're going to do very well. Sometimes we're frustrated because God keeps saying no. Sometimes God keeps saying no because God wants to save you the pain and the turmoil of Him saying yes and something in your life goes bang. Many times people do get upset with God for not answering a prayer when God clearly knows that what we are asking for at that moment is wrong. And therefore He's not going to answer you the way you want. I'm going to give you an illustration. It's a true story. It happened many, many, many years ago. During the Great Depression, there was a gentleman who was working with his local church, and they were doing missionary work in China. They had had a drive to get clothing to send to one of the orphanages there, because things in China back in those days were really, really horrible. They'd been very successful, and you know, back in the day, everything used to get shipped. Now, in order to ship things, you had to build crates. It's not like today, where you went and you bought it, you built it. He was a carpenter, and so he went into church to go and assemble the crates for the clothes to be sent to the orphanage. It just so happened that he had just received a brand new pair of spectacles. Taking into account that this was during the Great Depression, he had saved up for months, if not years, to have the privilege to have a new pair of glasses. That night he got home. As soon as he got home, he realized, oh, I don't have my glasses. And he started looking everywhere. He couldn't find them anywhere. And then when he started to retrace his steps, he realized the last time he was wearing the glasses was when he was doing the final assembly on the crate. And he started to get this nagging feeling that he might have actually left the glasses in the crate. Needless to say, he was now in trouble because he had no glasses. And he was angry. He was angry because he felt to himself, this is not fair. I'm doing something for God. I'm trying my best to be a servant. I'm helping other people. And in the process, I get robbed of my brand new pair of glasses. He had six kids, six mouths to feed. It was going to be a long time before he could afford to have another pair of glasses. It just happened to turn out this way that a couple of months later, the administrator of the orphanage in China was on a tour through America. He happened to come to the church that donated all the clothes, and he came to say thank you. So the whole congregation was there and they listened to his speech and they were in awe of all the trials and tribulations that the people in China were going through because there was a war going on and things were not well. And then he said that he wants to say specifically thank you for the glasses that the church had provided, because just before they received the shipment, the orphanage got raided and the military broke everything, tore down everything, burnt everything. And one of the things that was very precious to him that they destroyed was his glasses. He could not see without them and he suffered excruciating headaches. Him and his team prayed every day for God to make a way for him to find a new pair of glasses. And lo and behold, when they received the shipment and they opened the first crate, as he looked in, a brand new pair of glasses were lying on the top. He took it, he put it on, and guess what? They were perfect for him. He was rejoicing, his team was rejoicing, the whole orphanage was all excited. So the whole church began to clap hands and everybody was happy, but there was one man sitting at the back that was crying. And it was the carpenter. And there God touched his heart and he realized there was a reason why God did not answer his prayer. Because that man needed it much more than he did. How many times in your and my life do we go through a similar situation where we perceive something to be bad, but we don't know what God is doing in that process? You know, sometimes we lose something. Something gets taken from us. We have a tragedy. We have a disaster. And we only see it from our point of view. If we could just see it from God's point of view. Doesn't the Bible say all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose? There is another scripture in the Bible that says our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far greater weight of God's eternal glory. So, sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers because He's busy doing something much bigger than what you can see at that moment. Sometimes what we pray for is just completely wrong. Imagine if your four-year-old wants to play cops and robbers or cowboys and Indians. And they come up to you and they say, Dad, can I borrow the 357 Magnum because I just want to shoot Petey there? If you say yes, you need prayer. Because we understand that you cannot give a child that kind of a thing. So you are obliged to say no. Now, you see, God is no different. Sometimes we are asking him for things that God better not answer. It's like the one evangelist, one night he was praying for somebody and he was asking God to remove the kidney stones, but his mouth got tripped up a little bit and he said, "Lord, please remove these kidneys." We can be so glad God doesn't take everything literally, because that would be a disaster. Sometimes what we ask for is wrong. Even in the Bible, there were people that prayed wrong. Once there was some of the disciples named Peter, James, and John who were with Jesus. And at that moment, God allowed the power of God, the power of God's kingdom to come upon them. And there was a transfiguration that took place. Jesus, his whole body began to shine. He began to radiate the power of God. Now, when you are in a place where the power of God manifests in such a practical way, I don't know how you're going to react, but the way they reacted was they fell on their knees and they began to say stupid things like, "Lord, let's build huts for ourselves and let's stay here for the rest of our lives. Me, you, John, and Moses or Elijah or whoever else was there. We're all going to stay here and we're never going to go anywhere." Probably at the moment that seemed like a good thing to do. But you see, the thing is, it wasn't. In Matthew 17, verse 1 to 13, we read about them saying, "Lord, let's build shelters for ourselves. Let's stay here for the rest of our lives." Now, Jesus answered them, "No." You see, the thing is, Jesus' purpose, Peter's purpose, John's purpose, was not to stay on a mountaintop for the rest of their lives, secluded from society. God had called them to change the world. God wanted them to go out there, and the light that they saw, they had to become that light and take it out into the world and make a difference. At that moment, they felt like, "Oh, we would like to be here." They were praying in a sense, "Let us stay here and never move away." If God had answered that prayer, Peter, who was the first man to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, would never have fulfilled his purpose. Even though in his heart he was convinced at that moment, this is the right thing to do. In God's eyes, it was the wrong thing to do. Why does God sometimes say no? Because God knows what you're asking for now is going to stop your life from going forward tomorrow. I suppose what I'm trying to tell you is sometimes we get frustrated with God because we're praying and praying and praying, and man, is God deaf? Doesn't God hear me? Why isn't God doing what I'm asking him to do? And God's thinking, "My child, you see as far as your nose is long. I know the future. I cannot answer this prayer for you because I have much bigger things in store for you." Luke chapter 9. Verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead who went to a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them?" But Jesus rebuked them, which is just a nice way of saying Jesus said no. Even though the disciples in their own hearts probably thought they were doing something good, because these people are a stumbling block to the gospel. These people are resisting Jesus. And so we wipe them off the face of the earth. Jesus understood that that type of prayer cannot be answered because it's not the will of God. If the disciples who lived and walked and talked and studied under Jesus, if the same disciples that saw Jesus raise the dead, cleanse the leper, heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind, give hearing to the deaf, if they made mistakes, what makes you think you're not going to make mistakes? What makes you so convinced that every time you ask God for something, you're asking for the right thing? Let's make it practical. Yeah, we have a young man sitting in the audience tonight or today, and he wants a certain car. And he's praying to God, Lord, I want this car. Doesn't matter what car it is. It's a fast car. It's a powerful car. It's a Zooty car. It's nice. And he wants it. And you know, a lot of us, when we want it now. And he's praying and praying and praying and praying, and no doors are opening. But what he doesn't realize is if he gets that car and he starts hanging around with a group that has those type of cars, it's going to be two short steps to a life of pain and suffering. Because with that group, the reason they can afford those cars at that young age is because they are up to no good. It's because they are involved in drugs. It's because they are involved in crime. It's because through them a lot of misery comes into people's lives, and what you sow you will reap. And you see, the fact is God's got a different plan for this young man. He doesn't want him to go down that road. So sometimes God says no to save you from yourself and to keep you from the fowler's snare. We may not always know at the time that we are praying that what we are praying is wrong. And therefore, we get frustrated. You know, the thing is, I've used the scripture many times, but God has shown me over the years that this just happens to be so true. There is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. It's like pity, Lord, 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 I want to have Sunny as my girlfriend. She's got very nice legs. She's very cute. But the fact of the matter is, Biti doesn't know that when he starts hanging around with her, the spirit of Jezebel is also with her. It's going to control his life. It's going to destroy his life. He will become a victim of witchcraft because of the control. Ultimately, to try and prove himself to her, he's going to start overstepping boundary after boundary after boundary. By the time he's 20 years old, he's lying dead in the gutter somewhere. Why did God say no? God sees the future. There is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. We have to understand that what we see and what God sees is two separate things. Raise your hands if you've come to a place in your life that you've made a commitment to give your life to God. If you don't raise your hands right now, I want to see you after church. Now, here's the thing. If you've given your life to God, then you also accept that God is now in charge. That means that sometimes when we're in charge, we have to say no. Is there any parent here that has had to say no to their children? And you know in the process they're upset with you, but you don't care because you know better. Just wave at me. Well, guess what? You got that from God. Because that's the way he feels about us when we get all upset. He's like, okay, go chuy the tantrum. Get over it. You'll be okay. Because I'm saving you from pain. I'm saving you from suffering. I'm saving you from a very big mistake. I don't know about you, but I don't like mistakes. I'm not saying I don't make them, because God knows I still make many. But I don't want to make many. And that means that sometimes when God doesn't do what I want him to do, I have to make peace with the fact that probably what I'm asking is wrong. Or we're going to look at one or two other things now. And I have to make peace with that, because can I tell you what the devil wants to do in a situation like that? He comes and sits on your shoulder and he says to you, oh, you see, God doesn't care about you. Oh, you see, God's got favorites. Eddie has a new car, but you don't. Now I don't want to go to church anymore because, look, oh, you know, God's being nasty towards me. No. God knows that I need a new house before I need a new car. And God wants me to be a wise steward of the money that God blesses me with. Amen. And so the fact of the matter is, sometimes we get upset with God for protecting us. If your children get upset with you for doing what is right and protecting them from something evil and bad, That wouldn't be right, would it? Well, it's not right when we sometimes get upset with God because he says no. So, sometimes we ask for the wrong things. Sometimes we're asking for something too small. Sometimes we're asking for something too little. Doesn't the Bible say, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future? Imagine you busy praying, oh Lord, you know that house on Fifth Avenue, the tiny little matchbox one. Lord, if only I can have that house. Problem with that house is, it's got terminal rot. The foundations are wonky. It was built on a Friday afternoon just before everybody was going to hit the pub. Nothing on that house is right. But the house in First Avenue, which is three times the size, is going to come on the market in a year's time. And guess what? It's got your name written all over it. And we get upset because God doesn't want to give me what I want now. Make peace with the fact that God knows better. Look at your neighbor and say, God knows best. Now, the next time you've been praying and praying and you don't get a solution right now, you remember these words, God knows best. Sometimes God says no to the small things because the bigger things are coming. And God really wants to bless you. Don't you want the best for your children? I don't know about you, but I want the best for mine. And therefore, many times I say no because I've walked that road. I've learned through experience that some things are not good for us. Sometimes God says no today because he wants to say yes tomorrow, because what comes tomorrow is much better than what you're complaining about today. God sometimes says no. And God doesn't say no to be spiteful or to upset you or to provoke you. God simply says no because he really does know the future and he wants what's best for you. Sometimes the problem is not so much that we're asking for the wrong thing, it's that we're asking for it at the wrong time. You see, children in general have no patience. Do you remember when you used to go on holiday with your youngsters? You know, there was a movie made about that. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there? Do you remember when, okay, let's not talk about your children, let's talk about you. Do you remember when the Christmas tree was up? Everything looked so nice. The house was decorated. All the little sparkly lights. And of course, those nice big presents under the tree. It's like the worst thing you can do to a child is put that big present under the tree, because now he wants to know what it is and he wants it. And they come up with all sorts of sneaky ways to try and figure out what's what. And then comes Christmas Eve, and they begin to negotiate with you. So, oh, Dad, it's only 2 hours before the time. It's not the end of the world. Let me just have a look at it. No. Wait till 12 o'clock. But that's human nature. That's how we all are. Yes, so we get a bit older. We're not worried about the thing under the Christmas tree. There's other things that we want, and we want it now. Now, even though we grow up, whether you like it or not, in certain respects, we are still just children. And we want God to answer every prayer right here, right now, instantaneously. We want God to meet our needs yesterday. We want God to move every mountain the moment we ask him to. The thing is, when you were teaching and training up your children, you expected them to learn the value of patience. God is no different with you. You know, the Bible says, unless you become as a child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. A child, a true child, has to respect the parents' wishes. In the same way, God sees us as the children. God is the adult. He knows what's best and he knows when is the right time for something to come into your life. God has good reasons for sometimes making you wait as well. Just like you cannot always give in to a child's tantrums about not getting something today, God will not be moved by your tantrums. God will not be moved by your sulking. And you can't stay away from church for 6 months waiting for God to now get the message and do what you want. That's bite your nose to spite your face. Because the only one suffering here is you. I want you to remember these words. A godly delay is not necessarily a denial. Just because you don't see it today doesn't mean God said no. God's waiting for the right time. If you've ever worked with gardening, you will know that certain things can only be planted in certain seasons. If you try and force the issue and you plant it in the wrong time, it will not grow. Now, even in the kingdom of God, certain things are waiting for certain seasons. You know, the Bible says when we sow something, there will be a harvest. You know, millets don't come up at certain times of the year. Because God universally, in a sense, programmed them to come at a specific time. They know when that time is. Now, the farmer needs to know when to plant them so they can be ready to grow at the right time. And if we follow those simple principles, we will get a harvest. But if we get impatient and we want to plant at the wrong time or reap at the wrong time, we get nothing. Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." My friend, maybe this is not what you want to hear today because you still want it and you want it now, but God's time is the right time. And we are encouraged in the Bible to keep on praying and not lose heart. Sometimes we are actually praying the right thing, but we are praying it in the wrong season. Keep praying. Things are going to shift. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 to 18 says, "Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for that is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Let's look at those words. Pray continually. The mistake a lot of people make is, oh, I've been praying for it for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month or whatever. And it's like, God hasn't listened to me. So it's a waste of my time. I'll rather go and do something else. You don't know that. Did you know that the Bible says, they that run the race till the end will receive the crown. Will receive the prize. One thing you have to understand about the devil. He knows human nature. You see, you know different from Adam and Eve. You know different from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because human nature is human nature. Everybody wants it and they want it now. Patience is something that is very difficult for most people. And so the devil is going to play on that weakness that we tend to have. You gotta fight it. You got to say, listen, yeah, even if it takes me X amount of years or whatever the case might be, I have made up my mind. I am committed. I'm going to dedicate myself and I will persevere. Right now, whether you like it or not, your life is likened to an athlete running a race. An athlete running a race that gets fed up and goes and sits down somewhere along the line will get nothing to show for all that he has done up to that point. You don't want to be that person. You want to get to the end. You want to receive the prize. That means you got to persevere. If God doesn't answer your prayer today, tomorrow might be the day or the day after. If it's not this season, you never know. It might be next season. But don't give up. Keep praying. Keep trusting God. Galatians 6 verse 9. Listen to these words. Beautiful words. "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. It has been said that one day when you go and stand in a graveyard and you look at some tombstones, you see the name of somebody and you see a date, a dash, a date. Don't let your life be defined by a little dash. Live your life. Reach your goals. Fulfill your purpose. Meet your destiny. It's going to take perseverance. It's going to take a do or die attitude where you say, I refuse to give up. It's going to take an understanding that even if I've been praying for something for 3 or 4 or 5 years, I still cannot give up. If in my heart I have peace that this is what God has for me, I'm going to keep running this race. Because the thing is, you do not know the future. Imagine you see yourself as somebody climbing a mountain. And you must understand, when we climb a mountain, the higher we go, the thinner the air gets, the more difficult it is for you to climb. It must be truly difficult for people that climb Mount Everest, because up there, the air is so weak, it's so thin that it hardly has enough to sustain you. And even just breathing is taxing to your body. And it's only the ones that really, really, really want it that get to the top. Now imagine you busy climbing this mountain, and all of you are climbing some mountain right now. And you're tired. It's almost like, I just want to give up. I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't see the point. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I don't see anything change. For all you know, right now, you are 3 feet from the crown. A slight bit of perseverance more, and you will get to that crown. And there you will see what God has been busy with. How often in life has the devil managed to get somebody to stop climbing? Because he sees how close you are to getting to the top. And I almost want to say to you, the more that voice talks to you, telling you that you're wasting your time, it's never going to happen, God doesn't care about you, the closer you probably are to the top. The closer you probably are to that breakthrough. Listen, yeah, the devil's not stupid. Even though he doesn't know the future, he sees the signs. And he can see when seasons are shifting, even though we can't. Don't listen to that voice. Don't give in to the temptation to say, whatever. God wants you to finish this race. Luke 18 verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Look at your neighbor and say, never give up. Listen to these words. Never give up. Listen, yeah. You've all heard stories of people who, when you look at the face value, were wasting their time. Where everybody around them told them it's not going to work, it's never going to happen, this is impossible, don't be stupid. But they persevered, and one day, the power of God was released. And the door that had been open for how many years suddenly closed. Opened, and the breakthrough was there. How many businessmen is there in this world who battled and battled and battled and battled, and it looked like nothing was going to work, but something inside of them kept speaking to them and said, you stick to it, you don't give up. And today they run multi-million dollar industries. But when you listen to their testimonies, the people around them all say to them, you're wasting your time. It's never going to happen. Here's what the Bible says. Listen carefully. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Now, I'm not saying you must just persevere and not pray, because today we're talking about prayer. But I know how human nature is. We've prayed about it. It's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It's never going to work. If you really have peace in your heart that God spoke to you to do something, then you've got to walk that road. Because when God called you to walk that road, He never gave you the dimensions of the road, did He? Did He tell you it was a kilometer long, or did He tell you that you're running the comrades here? You see, if He told you that you were going to have to run the comrades, you would have said no when He called you. That's just how people are. It's like, God could never expect that of me. It's way too long. It's too far. God doesn't tell us. But when God called you, He knew that you have everything inside of you to make it to the end. It's already in you. These scriptures make one thing very clear. God expects us to persevere in life and in prayer. How many people in this world never fulfilled their dreams simply because they decided to give up? Satan knows that we are prone to discouragement. He knows that we doubt quickly, and He will often use this as a tool to put pressure on you to give up. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. I want to tell you something. The voice of the wolf is in your ears telling you it's not going to work. Just let it go. You're wasting your time. But if you become quiet, you spend some time with God, you will hear the voice of the shepherd saying to you, I am proud of you, my child. Keep going down this road. You will get to the end. Perseverance will pay off. Never give up. So as I said to you earlier, everything has an appointed time, even answering prayer. It's determined by God. It's not determined by you. It is your responsibility to never give up. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. There is a time to be born and there is a time to die. There's a time to plant and there's a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. What is this telling us? Time, time, time. There's a time for something to be established. There's a time for the foundation to be laid. There's a time for the ground to be broken. We don't see where we are in that process. We're somewhere. And if today you're not where you want to be, understand that God is in charge of firstly your life and secondly the timing of when things have to come to pass. Imagine, if you will, that somebody was to build a house, but because they're in such a hurry, because they want it and they want it now, they decide for themselves, we don't need a foundation. It's excessive work. It takes time. And if we don't have to dig, and if we don't have to excavate, and if we don't have to pour concrete, and if we don't have to wait for it to become dry, we can be in 3 weeks' time. You will be in 3 weeks' time. But when the storms come, the Bible says the house will come crashing down. It's all about time. You know, sometimes we refer to Father Time. When we refer to Father Time, we're simply talking about God. Because God is in charge of time. God is going to determine when you can move into that house. God is going to determine when the door will open for the promotion at your work. And sometimes God is simply waiting for certain things in your life to fall into place. Because that will bring about that time. This message makes it so clear. Everything in this world happens at an appointed time. A time to heal. When is the time to heal? Do you control that time? Do I control that time? Do we control that time? No. God controls it. Now, listen to it. There's a time to heal. In other words, the good news is there's healing. The challenge is it's based on time. If you don't get healed today, what do you do? Do you go and hoy a tantrum and say, stuff it, this doesn't work? Or do you accept the fact that timing belongs to God and you keep walking that road, you keep persevering? Let me share something with you, very interesting. Many years ago, I met a pastor. I met a pastor who was battling with Parkinson's disease. For those of you that don't know what Parkinson's disease is, it affects the nervous system and they shake a lot. They battle to control their normal motions. They battle to speak and they have lots of problems. This gentleman was really, really quite far down the road of Parkinson's disease. He had to be pushed around in a wheelchair. He came along to a healing crusade that I attended. He was trusting that God was going to heal him. He wasn't healed. Sometimes you pray for people and they don't get healed. Sometimes you pray for people and they get healed. God is the one that appoints time. The one good thing about this pastor, he refused to give up. He had a conviction in his heart that God was going to heal him of this debilitating disease. It was probably 5 years later. I was watching a television crusade, a healing crusade that was aired on TV. Imagine my surprise when I saw that same pastor and his daughter, the same daughter that was with him that time when he received prayer, when I was present. I saw the two of them. Now, because I have met them, I spoke to them, I spent time with them, I knew how bad his Parkinson's was. The next moment, this man, who was already in his 70s, by the way, starts running across the auditorium, jumping up and down, giving praise and glory to God. Do you know what happened? Perseverance paid off. His faith in God was proved to be sure. God opened the door that for 5 years he was standing in front of it and knocking and knocking and knocking and nothing happened. But that day, God said, it's time. He was healed that day. How many healing crusades, conferences, services did he attend in those 5 years? I don't even know. But one thing I can tell you, I think he went to quite a few because he had an expectation. How many times did the devil tell him you're wasting your time? Probably every single time he walked out of there and he was still the same. But he got healed. I'm just using healing as an example. I can use any other example. We can use financial breakthrough. We can use finding love. We can use so many different things. What I'm trying to tell you is this. Jesus told them a parable to show them that they should always persevere and never give up. Prayer is something that works. But it doesn't work when you want it to work. It works when God says it should work. There's going to be pressure on you from the demonic realm to say this is ridiculous. This doesn't work. Why must I even try? Do not listen to that voice. Because that voice is going to rob you of the breakthrough that God wants to give to you. There is a time to uproot. Some of us have things in our lives that are not good. The Bible says, amongst other things, do not let a bitter root grow in your hearts. A bitter root to me is something that comes from Satan that we've allowed to come into our hearts. And the thing is, when it has got roots in you, it's not that easy to just pull it out. Some of you, yeah, you're battling with demonic problems. And you've been prayed for a number of times. And I'm sure the voice has spoken to you and said to you, it's never going to get any better. There's a time to uproot. Again, your constant complaining to God is not going to bring the time quicker. God will decide when the time is. And God expects perseverance. I want to talk about something that now and then I have to talk about these things. In this church, we pray for people. And I'm not talking about, let's please take hands because Mrs. Pochenpool's not feeling well. Lord bless her. Thank you. Amen. I'm talking about we're going to call you forward. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you. Finish law. Amen. But now, how often does it happen that we have people coming and they come once? And then if nothing changed, then it's like, you know what, that's just a bunch of nonsense. That doesn't work. Be very careful because you are in the wrong place. There's a time. And sometimes that time will be coupled to your actual perseverance. Do you show God faith? Because I want to tell you, that pastor that I shared you about had faith. Even though today nothing happened, he said to his daughter, find the next crusade. God's going to heal me. Take me there. It's coming. That's called faith. God wants to see faith. God will bring about change when God sees the right things with us. You can't expect to go to church once and then everything must be perfect. Listen, how many years did it take you to mess up your life? It didn't happen overnight, did it? But now you want God to fix all your problems overnight. Is that fair? No, it's not. People treat God as a quick fix. I want to tell you something. God's no quick fix. Not for you, not for me, not for nobody, not for the church. God's got His word and He expects us to abide by His word. God expects us to do the right things and God expects us to honor what the word teaches us. A lot of people want me to go pray for them. Here's the thing. The first place that I pray for people is here in the church. Why? Because there's a lot of power here. There's a lot of anointing here. And because people also need to give a bit from their side. How many people did Jesus go to their house to pray for them? There was the girl that was dead. We could forgive her because she was dead. There was the man who was lame. Actually, his friends brought him to the house where Jesus was. The point I'm trying to make is Jesus didn't run after people. People had to go to Jesus. Today, people are lazy. Today, people are comfortable. And today, people are full of nonsense. They want it, they want it, they want it, but they won't do nothing for themselves. When you are sick, don't you get in your car and drive to your doctor? You know, yes, one of my secretaries, auntie, just wave at the people. She can qualify what I'm telling you now is not wrong. I sometimes have people that stay within walking distance from the church. Then they're upset with me because I won't come to their house and pray for them, but they can't come to church. They will not come.
If you don't go to church, you're not a good pastor.
And then I'm not a good pastor when I don't go to pray for them. I want to say something to you. With an attitude like that, God will never heal you. Deal with your attitude. It's wrong. Amen? It's wrong. If we want something from God, we must come before God in humility. Humble yourself before God, and at the right time, God will raise you up. It has a lot to do with our hearts. We have to have good hearts before God. We want to be a blessing unto God, and nobody stands before God and makes demands. You do not stand before the Creator of heaven and earth and make demands. You humbly come before Him. And you ask. You persevere if you don't get it today or tomorrow. And you never turn around and say, that's a bunch of nonsense. Because I'm sorry, that's going to come against you. Jesus said there's one sin that will not be forgiven man. It is to blaspheme against the work of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God begins to move and you don't receive what somebody next to you receives and you turn around and you say, that's rubbish. You are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Now you're in trouble. I had a gentleman once, many years ago, comes to talk to me. He says to me, "Oh, you know what? I don't believe in all this charismatic rubbish." I thought, "What? I must have heard wrong." I said, sorry. Can you just repeat that to me? He says, "I have no time for charismatic rubbish." I said to him, "Sir, I want to be very honest with you. You are opening a door for something very bad to come into your life." "Oh, don't lecture me, blah, blah, blah." I said, "Sir, do you even know what the word charismatic means?" How many of you know what the word charismatic means? Let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean we're running through church waving flags. It doesn't mean we're jumping up and down while the worship goes on. It doesn't mean we're blowing a horn or we're doing some strange thing. It means we are open to allowing the charismata, the Spirit of God, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God to operate in our midst. The Holy Spirit's welcome. Saying you don't believe in it is saying the Holy Spirit must get away from you. How far are you going to go when you push the Spirit of God out of your life? Nowhere. Speaking of, if we want to grow, if we want to become stronger in our faith, in our gifting, in our godly call, there's one person that we need. We seriously need. It starts with Jesus. Because without Him, nobody can come to the Father. But it cannot end with Jesus, because Jesus Himself said that the Spirit of God working through Him allows Him to do what He did. If Jesus couldn't operate without the Holy Spirit, how on earth are you going to operate without the Holy Spirit? How can this church, this ministry, or me myself operate without the Holy Spirit? My friend, I want you to understand something. We don't just need the Holy Spirit, we can't really live without Him. Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of life. And now you're going to say to me, "Yeah, but what about the people out there that don't have the Holy Spirit?" You see, this is what you have to understand. They're not living, they're existing. There's a big difference between the two. Because they're that side. And God wants them this side. They don't know God. They don't know the way of God. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit. Spirit of God. Let's take hands. You don't have to stand. Just where you're sitting, please take hands. Father God, it is true that sometimes in ignorance we say things that we don't realize exactly what we're saying. Sometimes a lack of knowledge can be a really bad thing, for the Word of God says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Lord, if ever any of us, myself included, has grieved the Holy Spirit or has quenched the fire of the Spirit of God, then Lord, today in humility we come before You and we say, "Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry for speaking about things I knew not. I am sorry for putting myself in a bad situation by speaking idle words. Lord, have mercy on us. Because without the Holy Spirit, we're going to go nowhere. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no light shining in a dark world. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no fire to consume the works of darkness. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no gifts of the Spirit of God. Without the Holy Spirit, there will never be conviction of sin in the hearts of unbelievers. So, Holy Spirit, today in the mighty name of Jesus, we are asking You, we are welcoming You, fill this place, fill our lives, fill our hearts. Use us, Lord, to make a difference. We give You all the praise, we give You all the glory in Jesus' holy and mighty name. Now, I didn't plan on going down this road at all, but something came over me and God began to push my conversation in this direction. Now here's the thing, I'm not in charge here, God is. And if there's things he wants to do, then me, I have to get out of the way and let him do what he has to do. You asked for God to touch you today. I want you to stand up, please. Stand behind her for me.
You
want to say yes?
Yes. While Rianne was praying for us, now I have this thing in my heart that, you know, many times people, they phone me for appointments, and the way they speak, it's ugly. There's no need. We all have a life. Sometimes the way they speak about Rianne is not nice because he's a servant of God. And I just want to say to everybody, because I'm being in this ministry for almost 20 years, I know the ins and outs of this ministry. They must be very careful when they speak about a servant of God. Because when you speak about a servant of God, you're speaking about God. And don't be surprised when your life goes nowhere, when you start pointing fingers on the pastor. The pastor doesn't like you, or he doesn't pray for you. That's all rubbish and that's all lies. We never say no to no one. I know, because I take care of the appointments. But be careful with your tongue, because you can curse yourself very much. I heard a conversation the other day that it happened in this ministry. Someone in this ministry, he says that you will never, to give things to people. Donate. I want to tell you something about that. We don't need your donation. God doesn't need your money. Because if you're ugly like that for the work of God, then you are a miserable person. You don't need to tell me nothing. And actually, I'm going to ask you a favor. Don't ever give nothing to us. Because you're not giving to us, you're giving to God. The reason that I brought this up, we have a lot of backstabbings in our back that is no need. Everything, yeah, it's for free. Rian goes out of his way to everybody. He never asks a cent to no one. I don't ever put prices in anything. If you don't want to give, if you don't want to support us, be blessed. You don't need to bless us. Thank you.
Okay. That's fine. You said what you have to say. It's okay. Raise your hands. Father, I know that the presence of the Spirit of God is here today. And there are things that you want to do. I give you all the praise and I give you all the glory. Jesus changed people's lives with one word. Jesus healed the sick with one touch. Touch. I want you to come forward for me. Yes, you. And the lady sitting next to you, you. Bring her, yeah? Yes. Kieta, yetosha, yes. Behembe, kieta. Praise you, Lord. Teambanda kaso. Ekere, yes, yete. Toshambande, kiapa. Praise you, Jesus. Beando kosha. What's your name again? Take my hand. Beato tereye deregianda kasa. Korabahato koshe. The Lord gives me this word for you. For a long time you have felt that you are completely stuck. It looks like no matter which way you try to go, nothing wants to happen. It feels like you have fallen into a pit. And in that pit, you are going to die. The Lord gives you this word today. My child, you will not die inside no pit. You are coming out. There is a move of God that is coming into your life. There is a heaviness that surrounds you and your family. That heaviness is going to be destroyed. The word of God is released and change is about to come. Something is going to happen in your heart today. And when you get up off of this floor, you are going to feel completely different. Where you have had no vision, you will begin to have vision. Where you have had no power, no energy to go forward, you will have more than enough. Kesa. What is your name?
Jenny.
Jeannie. It's a bit like Billie Jean. Okay. Was he singing about you? Okay. I have this word for you. You have a lot of wisdom. And the word of God dwells within you. Sometimes you are afraid to use that. God is going to put a spirit of boldness within you, and the Spirit of God is going to touch your tongue. Do not be surprised if more and more people begin to talk to you out of the blue about the Spirit of God, the things of the kingdom of God. For God is going to use you to speak into people's lives. You have a teaching anointing upon you that is going to start coming forward greater and greater. Mr. Wilson. Ma'am, please come forward for me. Praise you, Jesus. Please stand there for me. Praise you, Jesus. I have this thing in my heart to share with you. There is something in your life that it's not around all the time. It'll disappear for long periods of time. It's a demonic spirit. It likes to suck you dry. It likes to rob you of your peace, of your hope, of your joy. When this thing comes upon you, it's like your personality begins to change. You want nothing to do with nobody. You push everybody out of your life. Even you sometimes don't know who you are. And then for a season, this thing will disappear and you'll begin to come back. The Lord has seen this thing in your life. It's time for it to change. Many times you've asked God to help you. Many times you've asked God to change you. Today God is going to answer your prayer. Raise your hands. Come out! In Jesus' name. You never touch her again. Get out. I want you to listen to me carefully. There's a lot of turmoil around you. If you were to be a ship on the sea, it is turbulent waters that you're going through right now. Sometimes you feel it's too much for you. Sometimes you have this thing, you just want to run away. You're going to go nowhere. God is busy steadying the ship. I have good news for you. You almost through the storm. A lot of things are happening in the time of testing, in the time of trial. But soon, very soon, you're going to look back and say, wow, in this time, that and that and that and that happened. And you're going to praise God for it. The season of the storm is come to an end. Praise you, Jesus. Young lady, please come. You, come with your wife. Thank you, Lord. Take hands. How's married life? Is it good? He's still in one piece. I mean, it can't be that bad. Eh? Amen. Take my hand. You have a beautiful spirit. You do. And your spirit is precious in God's sight. God is going to give you a lot of influence. And God is going to use you. You've also been through your ups and downs. It hasn't destroyed you. It hasn't killed you. And wisdom has come into your life through it. You did not give up. You persevered. There's a big harvest coming for you. In time, you're going to see what it is. There's some changes coming. The pitter-patter of little feet is not far off. It's coming. Your child is going to be blessed. Your child is going to be a blessing to you, to your husband, but also to God. And like God spoke about, was it Samson, that he was blessed from a young age. So your child will also be blessed from a young age. And many times you're going to see the hand of God through that child in ways that you never expected. God is taking you through a time of preparation. And you are going to be very busy with youngsters. When God gives a word to one,
and they are married, that word can never just speak to the one person. It speaks to both in different ways. My boy, with you God is well pleased. You are a wonderful young man, and you too are a blessing. Know this, God is going to begin to push your life in a different direction. Do not be alarmed and do not be panicked. Do not be stressed and do not be worried. God's change is the right change. There are things around you right now that you think are good, but God sees them in a different light. You've chosen to commit your life to God. Therefore, you have to trust Him now. An opportunity is going to come to you. It will not take long. When this opportunity comes, something inside of you is going to jump up, and you will know that God spoke to you this day. You will see the road that God has for you clearly. It's coming. It's coming soon. Kebeya tokosha. Praise you, Jesus. Blessed be your most holy name. There is none like you. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. Blessed be your holy name. The young lady sitting right at the back. You got black and white. Please come. We'll be careful. I can see. Don't worry. You are her husband. Come with, please. Keyata. What is your name?
Natasha.
Okay. Take hands. Toko ba terebesa bayeto. Toko ba hase. We bless you, Lord, and we glorify your almighty and most worthy name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Natasha, many times in life, fear has come and touched you, and fear has touched your heart. The Lord says He knows the fears that sometimes sucks the life out of you. And many times you fear the future. Many times you're very concerned, you're very worried. You don't even share it all with Him. You keep it inside. God gives you this word today. Your future is bright. There is nothing to be afraid of. You're going to be a wonderful parent. He's going to be a wonderful father. And the grace of God is upon your family. The grace of God is upon your life. This fear will not control you. This fear is going to be conquered. God is taking you through a new season. There is a season coming, and it's starting now, of victory. Many times you feel like you are the odd one out. Many times you feel that others can, but I cannot. It's not true. You can. God is going to restore the way you look at yourself, and God is going to restore the way you look at life. Peace will be restored to your heart. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I bless you. You're going to be fine. They'll be gentle. Don't worry. Young man, if you could, you would change your life. But you don't have to. I want you to listen to me carefully. You made mistakes. So did everybody here. You don't have to hide from your mistakes. It's made you who you are today, and you are useful to God. God is going to touch your heart. Sometimes you very... God's bringing you down. And what's growing inside of your wife is going to play a very big role in where your life is going to go. There is change coming for you too. God is going to, in a sense, anchor you. Right now, this is the way you are. Situations come and you're like, rrr. Very soon, things are going to happen. God's bringing stability into your life. God's going to change the way you look at life and the way you see things. And God's going to release you from the things of the past. Like your wife, your future is bright. I speak to frustration. I speak to anger. I speak to torment and turmoil. It's time to go. Now. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. There is a young man sitting back there. You are wearing a VW shirt. How can I not pray for him when he wears that shirt? Just joking. But if you wore an Opel shirt, ooh. Just joking. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Kiesa. What is your name, son?
Andre.
Take my hand. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be your name. You who was, who is, and who always will be. Young man, I have a word for you today. God is about to do something in your life that is extraordinary. You're actually a wonderful young man. You have got a very good heart. You will take the shirt off your back and you will give it to somebody in need. You have a proper servant heart. But that's not always the way that people have treated you. Many times you've been hurt. Many times you've been abused. Many times people have walked over you. Yet you did not allow that to cause you to become bitter. That is precious in God's heart. That is precious in God's sight. And the Lord says to you, son, no longer will people walk over you. No longer will people abuse you. For God is going to establish you. You are going to become that true light that shines in a dark world. No, you never saw yourself in this way. God is telling you today the way He looks at you and the way He sees you. Change is coming in the influences around you. Many people are going to be pushed away, but new influences are coming. Do not fight it, says the Lord to you today, because God is bringing about godly change. And godly change will elevate, not push you back, not bring you down. There's going to come a time, and it's not that far off, when you're going to open your mouth, and what comes out of there will blow your mind. And you will wonder, where on earth is this coming from? It is the seed of God's glory. It is the seed of God's life that is going to begin to work through you and touch others through you. Exciting times are coming. And today you will feel something happen inside of your heart. Praise you, Lord. Blessed be your name. The anointing that's here now is still here. I have to break now for practical reasons. I want to invite you to stay because I can see God is busy and He's going to stay busy. God is with us and the Spirit of God is here. Yes, of course we're going to. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for a wonderful time that we could spend. And Lord, that you spoke to us about prayer. We know that prayer works. And now we probably understand a couple of things pertaining to prayer in a way that we didn't before. I'm asking you, Lord, to bless these people and to bless their prayer life. May there be a hunger in all of our hearts for the Word of God. May there be a fire burning inside of all of our hearts for the things of God and for that communication with God. Thank you, Lord, that we can all testify that we have seen many answered prayers over the years. Lord, you are our greatest blessing, and we love you. We praise you. We glorify your holy name. And thank you, Lord, for new things that are coming in people's lives. Thank you, Lord, that seasons will never stay forever. They always change, and better things are always coming. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory. For, Lord, truly there is none like you. Amen. There is something for you.